There we go. Now I got the recording going. Forgot to turn it on a minute ago.
Do you want to read this again?
Yeah. So basically in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, God, because the devil got control of the earth because Adam and Eve handed it over to him, the plant kingdom fundamentally changed. Now, like I was talking with Shelley a little bit before fellowship, about 25, 30 years ago, I got rheumatoid arthritis. And I was, you know, first thing I did was went to the doctor to see what we could do. And they had treatments. Some treatments were better than others. But the doctor didn't have a cure. And, you know, and the doctors will tell you, well, we don't know what's causing it. And in reality, there's a lot of different things that can cause arthritis, because arthritis is the name of a symptom. And so one of the first things I did, well, I went to a regular doctor, and they gave me drugs that relieved symptoms. But then I went to a naturopath, and the first naturopath I went to, he was basing his work, there was a book called Eat Right for Your Type, and I tried that, and it was very little effect, if any. And so, but you know, when you have a health problem, you're willing to try something. And so I was willing to try that, and it did me very little good. And then I discovered that there was various supplements I could take and things that would ease symptoms. So I started taking some of those kind of things. And I'm the kind of person, I don't just want to get better. I want to get healed completely of things. That's just the way I am. And so another thing I came across about, what was it, 10, 12 years ago, was Dr. Gundry has done a lot of work that foods can contain lectins. Well, actually, all plants contain lectins. And some lectins humans have trouble with, and some lectins we don't. And Adam and Eve, living in the garden, they had better genetics than we do. They had a better genome. They also had a different gut bacteria than we do. I have no idea exactly what was going on there, but they could eat things, and you know, people were living close to 1,000 years back then. So I learned with Dr. Gundry that there's certain foods that are high in lectins, and people will react to them. And so I eliminated certain foods, and because eliminating those certain foods, I was doing better. And but then we recently came across something I knew about. There's a thing called oxalates in foods, and I knew I reacted to oxalates because I know that when I would use black pepper on my food, that I would hurt more afterwards. I would react to the oxalates. What I didn't realize is there was a bunch of foods that Diane and I were eating and we were both reacting to that were high oxalate foods. And so we recently got a book called Toxic Superfoods. And we've gone through, and we were growing spinach and Swiss chard, and we were drying the leaves and putting the powder in our smoothies. We were doing green smoothies, and we were putting about 5 or 6 things in our green smoothies that were high in oxalates, and we were poisoning ourselves.
And superfoods.
With superfoods. And it turns out a lot of superfoods are actually poison. Well, it turns out that because of what happened here in Genesis, all plants have anti-nutrients in them. The nature of plants changed here. Now, some plants will have a trace, and you can eat, like we grow lettuce. You can eat lettuce all day, and you won't be able to eat enough to get enough of the anti-nutrients to harm you in any way. But there's other foods that are very high. Now, I'm not going to go through and list them all, but you can look at the work. It's Sally Norton. She has a degree in nutrition or something. Yeah. She's a very recognized professional in her field, and she wrote a book called Toxic Superfoods. And one of the reasons we came across this is we were helping someone that had kidney stones. And we and kidney stones are usually because people have too many oxalates in their system. So,
and quite often that can happen with people who are vegetarian or vegan.
Yeah.
Something that has no oxalates at all, like Jeff was talking about plant-based foods. Things that have no oxalates at all that are really the true superfoods are like beef and chicken.
Beets?
And beef. Meat.
Meat.
Not beets. Beets are high in oxalates.
Yeah, don't eat beets.
But like beef, like cow and pig and chicken and eggs and dairy are very low, and they're very high in good fat content. And and I'm not advocating, we're not advocating to go like, what do they call it, carnivore, because that can have issues too, but those are foods that don't have any oxalates. And
so,
some people have a lot of trouble with it, some not so much. You have to know your body.
Anyway, I just wanted to cover that lightly a little bit. Just
Sally
Norton.
Norton.
Yeah. So let's turn to James. I want to get into my main teaching now, resist the devil. But I like to give you guys information about healing and nutrition, because I've gone through and I found a lot of this stuff by trial and error. I've tried a lot of things that worked and a lot of things that didn't work. And like, you always have to remember that different people, their bodies are different. And one person might be allergic to something and somebody else won't be. And some people react more to oxalates than others. But these are things to keep in mind, because the devil, he has a whole system of error, and the devil hates us, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so one of the things we can do is we can eat a better diet to not get sick. And I love not getting sick. So let's go to James. James chapter 4, verse 7. I'm in chapter 3. I was going to say that's not the right verse. I was in the wrong chapter. There we go. Chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. This is the part I'm interested in, the second half of the verse. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And like I said the other day, Diane, we were talking about the word, and we noticed that if you don't, and she made the comment, if you don't resist the devil, then he won't flee. And a lot of Christians, we think, well, we want to be nice. We want to be compassionate. We don't want to be that person that's telling somebody, no, that's wrong. We don't want to be that person that says, oh, you shouldn't do that. But you know what? Like a mother with a child. You know, like I remember when I was a little kid, I had a tricycle. I wasn't old enough to ride a bicycle yet. I got on my tricycle, and I put my head down, and I rode full speed right out into the street. And my mom got me out of the street. She took me and she spanked my little butt. And she yelled at me, don't you ever do that again. Now, you know, that could be considered mean. Oh, you can't do that to the poor little kid. Just let him do what he wants. No, she was saving my life. There's cars in the street. Cars will run over a tricycle and I would cease to exist. And so we need to be that person that will say, no, don't do that. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we want to just be, oh, we want to be nice. We just want to get along. We don't want to disagree with anybody. But, and I know women are more that way than men, because women raise babies, and women want to be compassionate and comfort people. And there's nothing wrong with compassion. There's nothing wrong with comforting. But we do need to resist. And to resist, we have to sometimes stand up against the devil. And we have to speak. And we have to speak things that people may not want to hear. Let's go to Deuteronomy. In the Old Testament. One of the books of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7.
What is it again?
28:7. Oops, it's a long chapter. Man, this chapter is like almost 70 verses. 28:7. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee. Gotta love old English, thine and thee, to be smitten. Smitten, ooh, old English, before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. They're gonna, so basically God's gonna protect us, and our enemies are gonna take off seven different ways. That's a promise from the Old Testament. You know, I did a teaching many, I'm wearing my flag shirt, being patriotic. You know, one of the great things about this country is we have a constitution. And on our wall over there, I've got the Bill of Rights up on the wall. You can't see it from here, but it's... Actually, you see it right over there, that little piece of paper on the wall there. It's got the Bill of Rights with our... And we, when we first had our constitution, they would not ratify it without those Bill of Rights being in there. Because they said, you know, we could, the government could turn abusive, could turn evil, could turn crooked. And so we've got rights. And remember in the old PFAL class a long time ago, we were taught that we have sonship rights. Well, I did a teaching about 20 years ago, and I taught that every promise in the Word of God is one of our sonship rights. So we, you know, Dr. Werbel covered like five sonship rights in the PFAL class, if I remember correctly. But also, this is one of our rights as a son of God, that our enemies will be defeated. They'll be smitten right in front of us, and they're going to run seven different ways. Let's look at the same chapter here, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, and give thee rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of your hand. And you will lend money to many nations, and you won't have to borrow.
No.
He'll make us a prosperous nation if we do the godly thing. Somehow we've got a whole bunch of Democrats and Republicans that have told us that, well, we should borrow money from everybody else. We should go in debt. We should give money away. And then we should have a trade deficit. We should allow them to tariff us and not tariff them back. We should do all these things that, you know, we should protect all the world for free. And they spend 2% of their income, their GDP on defense. And we spend half the world's defense spending comes out of the United States. And it's crazy. But God said we don't have to be, we can lend them money and we don't have to borrow money from them. And it's available to live that way. It'd be nice if we had more politicians that would believe the Word of God and act on it. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. So we're going from the front of the Bible all the way to the back of the Bible. Chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try. You know, there's a lot of spirits out there. There's good ones and there's bad ones. You know, the world will tell us, you know, oh, you believe in devil spirits? You're superstitious. Well, you know what? The devil, Jesus Christ said the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you don't believe he exists, then he's gonna rack and ruin you. We know he exists, and we resist him. But, you know, just because somebody says they're talking for God, we have to look at it. You know, we try the spirits, whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets gone out into the world. You know, just read the Gospels. You notice that most of the, maybe half or more of the religious leaders in the Gospels were all, Jesus Christ, what did Jesus Christ call them? You're your father, the devil. You know, that we don't want to be following people that are speaking from the devil. We need to rightly divide that stuff. Verse 2, hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Whoops. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Sorry, I left out things. Sometimes I get excited and I get read too fast.
Chapter 4,
that was verse 2. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And it says that spirit is Antichrist. I handled that in another teaching. Remember, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. People talk about the book of Revelation. And how there's the book of Revelation talks about the Antichrist. Well, you know what? The word Antichrist is not even used once in the book of Revelation. So if you don't believe me, look it up. And it's already, and if you're heard, it's already, it should come and is even in the world already. But here's what I wanted to get to here. Ye are of God, verse 4. Little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That gives us the ability to resist the devil. We have the ability, and we also have the responsibility. You know, it's like there's some people out there that don't know what's going on. Like, remember that incident with me and a little kid on my tricycle? I didn't know what was going on. I didn't think about it. I'm just doing stupid things. You know, it's like little kids do stupid things. You know, it's like, oh, they're eating their supper and they put food in their nose. Why do they do that? They're stupid. They're still, you know, they're not mature yet. But we're more mature spiritually. And so we resist the devil, not just for our sake, but for other people's sake. Ephesians chapter 6, and part of resisting the devil is we have to stand. There's a great, what was that guy, Watchman Nee, did a little booklet. I've got it down in my library in the basement. And a little booklet called Sit, Walk, Stand. We sit. Because what God has done for us, in Ephesians, it goes through, and God in Ephesians says we are seated in the heavenlies because it's complete. Jesus Christ did a complete work. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. It was given to us for free. It's a complete work. And because it's a complete work, we walk. And I believe the word walk has 8 occurrences in Ephesians. I don't remember. I used to know that years ago. Doesn't matter. But it talks in Ephesians about walking. And then once you were seated in the heavenlies, we walk with God. We walk in love. And then it says we stand. This is part of our Christian existence here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. See, to resist the devil, we have to be strong. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, we were talking before fellowship about how this country's got problems and that. You know, first of all, we don't hate the people in other countries. We might hate governments. I hate a lot of our government. A lot of our government, we've done some terrible things. That's why people all over the world hate us, because our government, through USAID and CIA, we've done some terrible things in the world. But we don't hate people. We hate, we don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against spirit, principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we wrestle against. It's the devil. The devil will use people. And remember the book of Acts. There was a guy. He was murdering Christians. He was hauling them off to prison. He was working for those guys that were seed of the serpent. And he was on the road one day, and he had a vision. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him. He says, "Hey, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Lord, who art thou?" He said, I'm Jesus who thou persecutest." And Paul, he literally had a come to Jesus moment. And he changed his life. And he went from being somebody working for Satan to somebody working for God. You know what? He jumped in with both feet. When he was evil, he was really evil. And when he was good, he was really good. And he wrote this book we're reading right now, this epistle. Verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." And the next verse starts with the same word that the last verse ended with. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel." See, God's given us everything we need. This is all figurative. It's like comparing a soldier's armor to what we, our abilities, spiritual abilities, that God has given us. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." It's, you know, we're finally getting some nice weather, and yesterday, Diane was out walking in our backyard, and we got the new grass coming up that's nice and soft, and it feels good on your bare feet. But you know, if you go another part of my yard, there's stones. You walk in those stones, it'll hurt your feet. And that's why soldiers would wear shoes. They'd wear something on their feet so they could run the battle, and the stones wouldn't hurt and cut their feet. And in verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the firing darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." See, this is the one thing here that's a offensive weapon. All that other stuff was defensive. We could defend ourselves against the attacks of the devil. But how we resist the devil, first of all, we have to defend ourselves so we don't get hurt. You know, you don't want to get hurt. But we have an offensive weapon, which is the word of God. When we speak the word, it injures the devil. He finally can't take it. And he has to, we resist him, we speak the word, he has to flee. He takes off. Let's look at Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Here he is resisting the devil. Oh, I'm in Matthew. Going too far back. Luke chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, if he was God, he wouldn't have to be full of the Holy Spirit, would he?
Right.
That'd be a redundancy. Returned to
Jerusalem.
Full of himself.
Yeah, that
was funny, Diane.
Sorry.
I have some people that have, it's interesting, you know, I work a job, and I'm good at my job. I've worked a lot of different places, and I have worked with some places where people were full of themselves. And I've seen some politicians on TV that were full of themselves and other people, and but I'm going to let it go there. "He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness You know, if you're going to be led, it's good to be led by the Spirit. You know, when I like to be led by the Spirit instead of my own stupid mind. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he didn't eat, and afterward he was hungry. Yeah, I'd be hungry too. 40 days? Some of us get hungry after 40 minutes. And the devil said unto him, hey, if you're really the Son of God, you know, there's some doubt here, you know, I'm going to bring up some doubt and kind of, you know, why don't you command that this stone be made into bread? And Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So the devil said, okay, I lost that one. Let's try another one here. And he took him up and showed him a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment, a time. And the devil said unto him, some of this power. No, he said, all this power. You ever wonder why governments are evil? Well, this verse here explains why governments are evil. All this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and it actually should say that was delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. That's why even in the Old Testament, when they had a nation of all believers, most of their kings were bad. And even the bad kings, even the good kings, did some bad stuff. Because the devil has a whole, he runs the world. It's his world. Verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, you know, all shall be thine. I'll give you all that power. You'll be the ruler of the whole world. You can be the dictator. People will just, on a whim, they'll just bring you whatever you want. You want ripe grapes, they'll just bring it to you. You want a new robe, they'll bring it to you. All you got to do is just say it, and it happens. And Jesus answered and said, hey, that sounds pretty good. I think I'll check that out for a while. You know, most of our politicians, whether they be Democrat or Republican or bureaucrat or whatever, they fall for that, and they like that. You ever wonder why these people, they make $174,000 a year, and after 10 years, they're worth $30 million? It ain't because they're honest. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. That's resisting the devil. We pray. Diane and I, we pray every day, at least once a day, sometimes more than that. And a lot of times when we pray, we say, Satan, get thee behind me. We literally say that word for word. And that injures him. He has, you know, he's limited by that. When we say that, it's like we put our foot on his neck. He's not able to do some of the things he wants to do just by us saying that in simple prayer. You know, most of us don't get the devil, Satan himself, coming into us in person, tempting us like this. But he'll work through people. He'll work through situations. And we can still say, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shalt thou serve. We don't serve the devil. So the devil goes, oh, lost another one. Okay, I'm going to try one more time here. You know, a lot of times the devil just, he keeps working at it, keeps working at it, keeps working at it. He's got all this stuff going on. So here's another one. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of a temple, and said, if you're really the Son of God, cast thyself down hence. Hence. I love old English, hence. Anybody been hence lately? But, you know, it's like, oh, you can just jump off. You can be evil Knievel. You can just do this and you won't get hurt. Because he said, verse 10, for it is written, he, God, shall give his angels charge over thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time You dash your foot against a stone. Oh, he'll protect you. You can be evil, Knievel. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And here's the verse I wanted to get to. This is the important verse here. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. See, we can do that. You go through situations in life. You get work situations. You get health situations. You just get the economy or whatever. Things happen. Things go wrong. You know, you're up S Creek without a paddle or whatever. All sorts of bad things happen. But you know what? We just keep saying, no, Satan, get thee behind me. I know I've got deliverance in this situation. I know I got deliverance. And what'll happen is that eventually this devil, he has to depart for a season. Doesn't say he'll never come back, but it says he'll have to depart for a season. All right, one more section. John chapter 8. It is John. Okay, I was thinking of something else. There was another verse I was going to put in here that I didn't do. I was going to go to Romans 8. John chapter 8. Here's a section of scripture we've all heard before, and we'll start in verse 1. And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. By the way, olive oil is very good for you, for your health. That's a freebie. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, these guys, these are the same guys that later on in chapter 9, he's calling them, you're your father, the devil. So they're up to no good here. And they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. You always, whenever I read this, what always stands out, you know, it's like, as far as I know, adultery, you need two people.
Yep.
And what happened to the guy? Oh, they let the guy go. Let's get the woman. Let's get... See, that's the way the devil is. He goes after the... Now, I know a lot of you women are strong, but men are stronger than women most of the time. So the devil goes after... He likes to go after women and children. You know, he's evil. And he's going after this woman. And somehow the guy's not here. You know, so there was... Adultery takes two, as far as I know. But, you know, they, just the one woman here, and they set her in the midst. And they said unto him, Master. I'm sure they said it sarcastically, because they didn't believe he was a master. This woman, they probably said it with disdain and disgust, was taken in adultery, in the very act. Well, takes two. Where's the guy? Maybe it was one of those guys. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? So they figured, okay, we got a trap for him. There's no way out. If he says, let her go, he breaks the law of Moses, and everybody will not follow him. If he says, stoner, all the people will see that he's just as mean as we are, and they'll see that he's using the word of God to hurt people and not help people like we do. And we got him either way. He's only got two choices. And see, well, it's the times the devil will do that. You know, you ever gone in the voting booth, and you look, there's this person and this person, and this one's a piece of crap, and this one's a pile of manure. And you don't want to vote for either of them.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes life gives you, well, you know what? God will give you a third choice. And verse 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. And Jesus stooped down with his finger and he wrote on the ground just as if he heard a knot. In verse 7, and it says in King James, they continued asking him. I bet they were badgering him. They said, Jesus, what do you say? Oh, you don't have anything to say, huh? I thought you were the son. You thought you were a master. Don't you have something to say here? Huh? And he came up with a unique solution that was not found in the Old Testament anywhere. There's no scripture that says, he that's without sin, cast the first stone. There's no scripture in the law of Moses that says that. But God will give you a way out. And see, a lot of times, the written Bible is the Word of God, but God can also give us revelation. Because remember all that stuff it listed in Ephesians? All those, we got the shield of faith, and we got the helmet of salvation, all that. God can talk to us. God will give us a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discerning the spirits. And so he said, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And verse 8, he just stoops down on the ground. You know, he basically, there's a group of Pharisees over there. He basically pulled the pin out of the grenade, tossed it in the midst of them, and he just waited for the bomb to go off, and he's drawn on the ground again. That's spiritually what he did. Jesus Christ didn't have to deal with it by the five senses. The word of God that he delivered blew their whole argument out of the water, blew it to bits. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. You know, how'd they know this woman was adulterous? Probably that was somebody that all these religious leaders had a woman on the side. This was one of the women they had. That's probably how they knew. They say, oh, we this woman, she's always doing that. Let's go get her. Throw her under the bus. And Jesus Christ threw them under the bus because they were guilty of the same sin. Convicted by their own conscience and went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone unto the woman, standing in the midst. And Jesus lifted himself up and said, saw none but the woman, and said unto her, hey, where's all your accusers? And she said, no man condemns thee. And so Jesus said, okay, you can go and keep doing the same thing. That's fine. There's no problem with you committing that. No, he said, go and sin no more. See, we've all committed sins. What's that old prayer? The guy's saying, he's praying to God. He said, Lord, I've done pretty good so far today. I haven't sinned against you, and I haven't sinned against my fellow man. I haven't done anything evil, and I haven't said evil things. I haven't contradicted your word. But pretty soon, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to get out of bed.
Oh, no.
And I got to go out in the world. So, Lord, I'm going to need your help. So, we all need God's help. But, we can be like Jesus Christ was in this situation. We can be that person that's delivers people, because there's no shortage of evil religious leaders that want to throw people under the bus and make them feel, oh, you've sinned because you've sinned. It's interesting. I was looking at some thing online. Every once in a while I look at something online about what does this verse mean and what does this verse mean of YouTube video or something. And usually I'm sorely disappointed because they say, well, because of our sins, God will do this in our life. And no, God forgives our sins. Because we're stupid, we get the results of our own stupidity. So anyway, then Jesus, again, verse 12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I think I'll stop there. So, yeah, we're here to resist the devil, but it's for us, but it's also for others.
Amen.
You know, we help people. We back down the devil because the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And God wants us to be in health and prosper, even as our soul prospers. So, you know, it's like I'm rooting for God, and I'm rooting for deliverance, you know. And it's like, yeah, we get diseases and stuff, and there's a minister I know here in Denver, and he's healed so many people, and he's older in life, and his health is failing. And you could say, oh, it's a weakness of believing. Well, you know, everybody that was ever healed in the Bible is now dead. But God's still a God of deliverance. This man should have died probably 10 years ago. He should have, maybe 15. He shouldn't even be alive now. But yet, God has given him deliverance, and he's still hanging in there, and he's still running a fellowship, and he's still teaching his word. So we don't give in, you know, and sometimes we're weak, and we don't always live up to what we think we should do, but you just keep trying. And we resist the devil. The devil wants to destroy us. He wants us to be dead. He wants us to be sick. And he wants us to be trampled on. And he wants to, and a lot of times people, because I've been so trampled on my whole life, I'm going to go trample on somebody else just to get even. Well, that's not the way to do it. We show compassion, and the way we show compassion is by resisting the devil. We back him down. Anyway, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word today and fellowship today. And thank you that we can resist the devil, and that when we do resist him, he will have to depart for a season. And you've given us the ability and the responsibility. All we have to do is act. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.